Thank you. May be seated. If you will take your Bibles, please, I invite you to turn with me there to Luke chapter 10. And our text today, Luke 10, verses 21 through 24. Luke 10, 21 through 24. Hear now the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we come today and pray that you would open our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit to receive your truth, to hear your voice. Lord, we pray that your spirit would take the humble and halting words of the preacher and fill them with power, that the people here today might know that they have not heard clever words of men, but they have indeed seen a demonstration of the Spirit's power. As you take your word and penetrate to the very core of our being with your truth, Lord, our prayer today is that we would hear your voice, and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. This text today is really part and parcel of the text that we looked at last week. In fact, our text today flows right out of Jesus sending out of the 70 and Jesus' condemnation, those towns and villages that did not receive him, that did not receive the good news of the kingdom, that rejected the messengers that he sent forth. And as we saw last week, this is not something that's just relegated to the first century. Those today who reject the gospel, who fail to hear and see God's truth, who reject Christ, who reject the messengers that Christ sends forth, are themselves subject to greater condemnation than many notorious sinners who have never received that truth. And Jesus turns from upbraiding and condemning those who fail to hear, and he addresses the disciples, he addresses those whom he had sent out, and then he turns to praise to God the Father. And then he again addresses the multitude, and then he addresses his disciples privately. And this text today is a neat little chiasm, inverted parallelism, if you will. And I think you can see that. It begins there in verse 21, talking about a certain hiddenness. The hiddenness of revelation. If you look at the end of verse 24, he talks about these things that have been hidden from many who wanted to see them and hear them. So you have this parentheses, if you will, standing over this. And if you squeeze that down to the next level, you see that this was revealed to some. And if you look there in verse 23, you see that some saw and heard these things. So it squeezes us down even more in the center of this chiasm. The thrust of this is God's sovereignty. And Jesus' unique position of mediation in revealing the Father. So it's a nice literary structure. And Luke begins first with the note that Jesus was rejoicing. Christ is rejoicing. He's full of joy. This is the only place in the Gospels where we see Jesus rejoicing. We see several places where he is weeping, but this is the only instance recorded in the Gospels where it specifically says that Jesus is rejoicing. We need to ask, what is the cause for this joy? Why is he rejoicing? And I would say to you, it's twofold. First, Jesus is rejoicing over those who are being saved, over those whose names have been written in heaven. And we saw last week that he told the disciples themselves that they should rejoice that their names are written in heaven. So it follows on that, that Jesus himself is rejoicing over that. But secondly, and to our text today, Jesus is rejoicing over God's way of salvation, over God's plan of salvation, over the fact that that is hidden in some respects. And you may find that somewhat odd or puzzling, but just hold on to that thought for a few minutes and we'll see if we can help with that. But I would say to you that this is not the only place where you see that in the Gospels. In many of Jesus' parables, like the parable of the leaven, the parable of the treasure that's hidden in the field, he talks about the hiddenness of the kingdom, the hiddenness of this revelation of the good news. But who are these people from whom it is hidden? Jesus says it's hidden from the wise and the learned. Now, if you're a Christian, that doesn't mean that you're not wise or not learned. Quite the contrary. But the ones that Jesus is talking about are those who are wise in their own eyes. Those who are puffed up with their own intelligence, their own learning. In fact, the wisdom of the world tends to make men proud. They tend to look down their nose at those they consider less educated or the simple, the common, who have not had the benefits of all their higher learning. In fact, those who are wise in their own eyes tend to look at the gospel. They tend to look at God's plan of salvation with contempt, with hatred sometimes. They look at the things of Scripture. They look at God's revelation of his own truth in Scripture as myth and legend or fairy tales. They fail to see the beauty of it. They fail to see the wonder of God's plan. And it's a demonstrable fact that the more education a person gets, the more learned they become in the ways of the world, the harder it is to reach them with the gospel. That's just a fact. That doesn't mean that Christians are not wise. Quite the contrary. There are many Christians out there who are extremely intelligent, extremely bright, extremely well-versed in many arts and sciences, but those who are enthralled with their own wisdom and their own learning, they seem to have difficulty accepting God's truth. It doesn't make sense to them. It sounds like foolishness to them. It sounds like some sort of fairy tale to them. And they reject the truth. They reject the truth of God's word. And these are the ones that Christ talks about. And he says that the truth of the gospel, the truth of the kingdom, has been hidden from those who are so wise in their own eyes. And you know, Paul said that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Christ crucified is foolishness to the world. The message of the cross, Paul said, is foolishness to those who are perishing. Those who need it the most consider it foolishness. But they consider themselves wise. You know, Paul wrote to the Romans, and he's talked about these folks who pervert the truth and suppress the truth. And Paul equated that suppression of God's truth with wickedness. And he said that since they did not consider the knowledge of God worthwhile, God gave them over to a depraved mind. Isn't it amazing? These people will believe all kind of nonsense. They'll believe all kind of foolishness and lies and perversion, and they won't accept the simple truth of God's word. It shows how distorted their minds and their thinking has become. By contrast, Jesus says that this truth has been revealed to little children. He's not talking about age or maturity there. He's talking about those who have simple hearts, who trust God. You know, much of the nonsense and the unbelief that circulates in the church today is fostered by the doctors of religion and theology. And they cannot see the simple truth of God's word that any little child can see by a plain and simple reading of that word. They foster all kinds of heresy and nonsense and unbelief with their great learning. But Jesus says these who receive this, these who have been blessed by God, are little children. They have hearts that trust God the Father, the same way a child trusts their father, the same way a child looks to their father for provision, the same way a child looks to their father for protection, the same way a child looks to their father for advice before they get too old and know everything. Y'all who've had children. But God says those who receive this are like little children in their openness of their heart, in their recognition of their need, in their recognition that God is the one who will provide that need. And these, he said, are the ones to whom this is revealed. This truth is revealed to those with those kind of hearts. And they're given eyes to see and ears to hear that which the world cannot comprehend. You know, what we have here is a clear declaration that some are given the ability to see and hear and understand the gospel, and others are not. It's very clear right here. What also is clear is there must be a good reason for this. And there is a good reason. And Jesus Christ himself gives us the reason. It's right there in your text. Yes, Father, for it was your good pleasure. It pleased God the Father to do that. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He wrote to the Ephesians. He said that it pleased God to reveal these things. It says, in love, God chose us before the foundation of the world. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus because of his good pleasure, because it pleased him. He wrote to the Ephesians and he said that God revealed to us the mystery, we could say the hiddenness of his will, because of his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ Jesus. It pleased God to do this. And we're talking here about the sovereignty of God. We come down to the core of this little chiasm, this text. We're talking about the sovereignty of God. It is God's truth. And God can dispense that truth when he wants, to whomever he desires, because it is his truth and because he is God. And he does that. He makes known himself. And that's very clear here. But look at verse 22, if you will. Jesus said, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And no one who knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now in verse 21, Jesus is praising God the Father because he has revealed these things to certain ones. And in verse 22, we see that Christ himself is the one who reveals these things. You have a very simple and elegant statement there. Christ is one with the Father. He is beside the Father. He is separate from the Father in what he does, but they are indeed one. Their purpose is one. And it is through Christ that we know of God the Father. In a very real sense, we can say that everything that we know about God is through Jesus Christ. We know nothing of God apart from Christ. There are some things about Christ that we do not yet know. They're known only to the Father. We shall know those things one day, I believe. We will behold him face to face. But Christ says here very clearly in just a few words, All things have been committed to me by the Father. All things include the revelation of God. We saw that in our text last week. I did not touch on it. The Lord was saving it for this week. Jesus said that if the miracles that were done in Capernaum and Bethsaida had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. The means were there. And Jesus, who knows all things perfectly, who knows all possibilities of everything that could ever possibly exist, said that if these miracles had been done, if the lame had been made to walk, and the blind to see, and the dead had been raised, if those things had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. But for some reason, God chose not to reveal that to them. That reason is because they were wise and learned in their own eyes, I believe, clearly from the text. But you have there a clear declaration that these means God dispenses according to his good pleasure, where he will and when he will. And Jesus Christ is the one who mediates that knowledge of God. Clearly, plainly, Jesus says here that some are chosen and some are not. Some are to receive this revelation, and from some it is hidden. That's a very clear statement here. But as soon as you say that, the cry goes up. That's not right. That's not fair. As if sinful, fallen creatures were in a position to decide what was right and fair in the work of holy God. But they do that. They like to cry out. That's not right. That's not fair. But God is the sovereign Lord. It is his truth. It is his revelation. And it's not, revealed. It's not a matter of access. In our own land, there are more Bibles available in this land than you can count. There are probably an average of 4 or 5 Bibles per person in this country. It's not a question of access, as it is in some parts of the world. It's a question of eyes that are blind and hearts that are hard and ears that don't hear. And it is the work of God to open those eyes, to open those ears, and the work of his Holy Spirit that changes the heart that they might believe and be saved. And that is very clear from what Jesus says here. It's very clear from what we saw last week. And if you have heard the gospel, if you have believed in Jesus Christ, you have eyes that have been blessed and ears that have been blessed beyond any comprehension. Do you realize what you have seen and heard? Jesus said, blessed are those eyes. Blessed are those ears. No king in all of his splendor, none of the prophets with all their inspiration know what you know. Have you thought of that? You are the beneficiary of God's complete revelation in both the Old and New Testament. You're the beneficiary, the recipient of God's complete revelation of himself to mankind, something that David or Abraham or Isaiah or Daniel never knew. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, has opened up countless hundreds and hundreds of scriptures in the Old Testament. Peter said that the prophets longed to look into these things even as they were writing them down. What in the world does this mean? And you know. Angels desire to look into these things, the scripture says. You know something that the most holy angel in heaven doesn't know. What it means to be a sinner, loved by God, redeemed by Jesus Christ, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. No angel knows anything of that. Many have desired to look into these things. The Old Testament saints put their faith in a coming Savior. They trusted in one that God was going to send to redeem them from their sins. But they knew nothing of how that was going to be. You have eyes that have read and ears that have heard that glorious story. Jesus said, you are blessed. blessed beyond measure to have received this. Number one, you were chosen by God. You were selected, elected, chosen before the foundation of the earth in love. God predestined you to this. We read it this morning. Not for anything in you, right from the confession. Not for any foreseen faith. Not for any goodness in you. But solely for his good pleasure. We have to ask, why is it? How is it? People ask. People say, we said, it's not fair. It's not right. How can we answer that? We read it in Exodus. Paul repeats it in Romans 9. God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And God will harden whom he will harden. That's the only answer. Except the answer that Jesus gives us here today. Yes, Father, for it was your good pleasure. What a wondrous thing that is if you're in Christ. What blessed eyes and ears you truly have. What a privilege this is. A privilege that brings with it responsibility. You've been given this because of God's love. You've not been given it just to sit around in glory in your blessing. These men to whom Jesus turned and said that you've been blessed in this way, they went out and turned the world upside down. Most unlikely of things that could ever happen from such a small group of people. But they understood how God had blessed them, how Jesus had blessed them, and what he had done for them. If you have understood these things, if you've heard the gospel, if your eyes and ears have been opened, that was not just given to you, as I said, for you to bask in the glory of God's love. You should do that. You have all eternity to do that. And you will do that. The more your eyes are opened, when you see that glory face to face, you will say eternity is not long enough. But you've also been given that to go out and turn your world upside down. There are millions in this land who live in darkness. There are millions in this land who are enthralled with their own wisdom, who are eat up with their own arrogance and their own pride, and will not listen, will not hear. But you may be the one that God has appointed to take to them the gospel that they might hear. It might be your lips that say those words that God is pleased to open their ears to hear and respond. You've been given a great privilege. I hope you see that today from what Jesus has said and what we see here in this text. What a wonderful blessing it is. And you've been given this without cost, without price. But there's been a tremendous price paid by God himself for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, we do thank you for eyes that see and ears that hear. And Lord, if there are eyes here that are blinded, ears that are stopped by unbelief, hearts that are hard, Lord, our prayers that you would open them. Lord, remove the impediments of pride and arrogance and sin. Lord, help them to hear. Give them hearts that believe that they might be saved. and Lord, as your people, as those who are loved by you, chosen by you for no other reason than your good pleasure. Lord, how you could take pleasure in one like me, I have no idea. Neither do any of these others here who truly love you and know you. But Lord, we glory in that. We thank you and praise you. And Lord, help us to take that attitude out into the world, that they might see in us that rejoicing, that joy, and that they might want to know what it is that we have, and that we would be quick to share with them the good news of the gospel, of your great love for sinners, and of the great sacrifice that you made through our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would be blessed. Bless us as we carry forth this commission that you have given unto us. Lord, pray that you would receive glory and honor for all that's done. Lord, we praise you. Thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.